Hello, everyone. This is Pastor Joey Rogers, and welcome to Revive.
Any crisis of this magnitude is going to change things, and everything is going to change. The way we do business, the way we operate, things are going to change, and no one will be exempt. There is no way out of this crisis except for God's way. Bringing the kingdom of God into this crisis is what is necessary.
In just a moment, I'm going to take you into a life-changing word from the Lord as preached right here from Pace Assembly. I know that it will be a blessing to you, so get ready to receive the word of God and faith that comes by hearing that word today.
Thank you for joining us on Revive Radio. Let's go into a new sermon series with Pastor Rogers. This was taken from a recent Wednesday night Bible study here at Pace Assembly. This is Leading in a Crisis, Part 1. Let's go into the message with Pastor Rogers.
During the tribulation, it's going to be stacking right on top of one another. In fact, the Bible says that when that starts happening, and I believe it's applicable to this situation, is that men's hearts will fail them for fear for looking for those things that are coming upon them. Well, Pastor, then, if you're talking about all this crisis, how am I supposed to get out of that? How do I lead myself? Because, get this, prepared people don't panic. The reason why people are hoarding up toilet paper and all kinds of stuff right now is because they hadn't prepared themselves. Well, Pastor, I didn't know it was coming. You need to know that any given time, things are going to change. Here's some things you need to know about. If you're going to lead in a crisis, here's some things you need to know. First of all, as a believer, I can't speak this for everybody. Not everybody's going to take all of this. There's a difference between believing and trusting. Believing says, I believe in God, I believe He exists. Trusting says, I have experienced a crisis and God was faithful. I can trust Him in that one, I can trust Him in this one. So here's some principles for you, some practical takeaways here tonight. First of all, nothing is permanent except God and His promises. You should write that down. Nothing is permanent except God and His promises. That's the reason why He's a solid rock. That's the reason why you can rest upon Him. He is a sure foundation. You need to understand that when all the world is shaking, and that's what's going on now, there is one solid rock. His name is Jesus Christ. And upon that rock, He said, I will build my church. Now, if you're part of His church, if you're God's people, then crisis will come to every one of us. I want you to know He didn't pick out, this virus did not pick out just Protestants or just Catholics or just Jews or just Republicans or just Democrats or just rich or just poor. It is pandemic. It's across all lines. But as believers, as leaders in the middle of a crisis, God's promises, ladies and gentlemen, he promises to us that His promises come to us and He will be faithful to them. But write this down. God's promises, He promises us that nothing is permanent. Now, this is important for you to get a hold of in light of Ecclesiastes chapter 3. You can read in that verse, the Bible says that there are times and seasons that God has established. The book of Genesis says that times and seasons, sowing and reaping, will happen as long as the earth remains. We're still on the earth, and seasons are coming. It's a cycling. Right now, we see the pollen that's covering everything outside. And here we are in Florida. Our temperature has risen to what normally would be summertime levels in the 80s. And in some case, we're almost getting close to 90. You need to know that seasons come and seasons go. Seasons require change. Seasons, secondly, give hope to us. That I'm not stuck in this season, that there is another season that's coming on. And usually there's not an announcement of it. I know that there is a spring season that's coming on. As a matter of fact, I got up a couple of mornings ago and went into my office at home. And while it was still dark outside, and suddenly there was a blue jay or some kind of bird that was right outside that caught my total attention. And I started smiling because I thought about the passage of scripture that says, even in Ecclesiastes, that one day the birds are going to sing again. And I want you to know that while seasons require change, seasons also give hope that there's another season that's coming, even in a crisis. Nothing remains the same. You need to know that things are changing, and that's God's plan. If everything remained the same and everything was permanent and we were locked into it, then you would have a permanent backache for the rest of your life. But God allowed days, times, and seasons to change so that things that we are looking at today, we can have hope for tomorrow because God is going to change things up ahead. Number four, seasons are always temporary. I didn't get an announcement, and neither did you, that the temperature was going to raise in this springtime while the pollen is still falling down, that the seasons are changing. But I came to tell you, God established it in the beginning, and without an announcement, the season has changed. Now get this, crisis is not a permanent position. And what you need to know is that God is not in a crisis. You should say that with me. God is not in a crisis. The world is in a crisis. The world is biting its fingernails. But this crisis that's going on has not caught heaven by surprise. Now I want you to get this right here. And I need to get some extended time on my time tonight, so you stay with me. I don't know how many we've got watching online, but whatever you do, stay with me. I started 5 minutes late, so in preacher time, that means 2 hours. All right, that's dog years. Okay, so get this. The key to life, listen, the key to life in this crisis is to outlast the season. We go through seasons and times. You go through ups and downs. I understand that. So do I. But you've got to understand that the ones that are going to survive, the ones that are going to make it, are the ones that will outlast this season. So you need to make up in your mind. I may not be feeling well today. I might have a crisis. I might have lost my job. But you know what? God knows what's going on, and I will outlast this season and come into another season. You should organize yourself to outlast the season. I'm going to talk more about that next Wednesday night. Seasons. I'm giving you some things here now for practicals. Seasons give incentive to plan and to change. You know what we're doing right now? Our daycare across the street, we've been shut down. So we've taken the staff, the minimal staff that we have here, and gone in there and began from top to bottom what we could not do with all the kids over there and started cleaning. Do you know everybody's going on the spring cleaning? I'm driving up the road and people got their pressure washers out. They're wiping their houses down. You never had time to do that. Guess what? Now you've got an opportunity to plan and to change for what's coming. I don't know what tomorrow may hold or next week. They're hoping that they can get the world and the United States back up and running by Easter Sunday, and what a great day that would be to celebrate. But the bottom line is, there's no guarantees of that except for God and His promises. News, listen, this is the reason why I say a lot of the news you're listening to, you need to get the information and then turn it off. And get the word of God and praise and worship music going on. Because when you're leading in a crisis, you've got to get your head out of what the world is thinking about and get your head into what God is thinking about. So when you do that, the news is many times just bringing all kinds of bad news. And the reason why there's no hope in there and there's no plan for the future is because they don't know what to do. All they can do is report on the bad news. But whose report will you believe? I will choose to believe the report of the Lord. And the only way you will do that is in the middle of this crisis to get your head out of that and into the Word of God. Somebody ought to say amen, throw some thumbs up online or whatever it may be. Now listen, this is so vital for you because kingdom people are supposed to be living by faith in God. That's what we do. Doesn't deny the crisis. You can't, you know, my arm's not broke. Yeah, if your arm's broke, your arm's broke. You can't confess the broke away. But what you can do is be able to plan for the future because your arm is not going to be broke always. This pandemic is not going to stay here always. It is a seasonal thing. And as sure as it came without announcement and suddenly came on the scene, just that fast, the God of heaven can clap his hands and make it disappear in a moment if my people, which are called by my name. In the meantime, we've got to lead in this crisis. We can't be behind the scenes or acting afraid. Kingdom people are to live by faith. Seasons are, here's another thing you need to know. Seasons are always moving. But what am I supposed to do? You're to stand still and see the salvation of the world. That's what Moses told all the children of Israel, the Hebrews that were out in the middle of the wilderness. Trouble was all around. Pharaoh was behind them. The Red Sea was in front of them. And God spoke through Moses and said, stand still. I'm going to keep on moving, but you stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Here's another thing you need to know. Seasons come to test your faith. There are many people that have faith forgetting things but they don't have faith for losing things. I'm going to say that again to you. There are many people that have faith for getting stuff. Oh, I've got my faith. I'm going to get this car. I'm going to get this. I'm going to get that. But here's my question. Really, faith is not about what you're getting. Your real faith is on trial when you lose something. Do you still keep your faith? Because a crisis is always a place for development and growth of your faith. Can you lose what you have and still keep God and your faith in God? If you can, then you've got something. Because if you can lose your money, but if you got faith, you can get your money back. You can lose your house, but if you got faith, God will give you a house back. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I know what I'm talking about. I've lost money, investments that I've made, but God turned it around and gave it to me in a different way. If I have faith in God, God, who owns the cattle on a thousand hills, if he had to do like one of my members and sell one in order to supply the need, God will do it. Many times, the only thing that, it's the only change of our behavior that comes when a crisis comes, when a season comes. Crisis cleans out, I want you to get this, God just downloaded it in my spirit today. Crisis cleans out faith fakers. There are people that come to church week after week, raise their hands, sing the song, say amen, but when it comes to this crisis, they don't know how to keep their faith. They're as panicked and as nervous and anxious as everybody else. I've come to call your spirit to be still and see the salvation of the Lord. That's what leading in a crisis is all about. You're not to be running around panicking. You're to rejoice in the furnace. Pastor, that sounds good for you, but you don't know what I'm going through. I don't know what you're personally going through, but guess what? We're all going through it together. You need to get this in your spirit and be rock solid. A crisis creates an opportunity for creativity. I heard the president saying today that many of the companies that have these respirators and other machines, they pulled back and looked how they could tweak that and turn those into respirators, and instantly, suddenly, we've got hundreds of thousands of them available to us because creativity came in the middle of this crisis. Isn't it amazing? People are taking sheets and all kinds of stuff and making masks out of them. Isn't it amazing how even in the middle, I was looking it up, I couldn't find everything I wanted to, but foods have been produced. Listen, Spam came as an invention of a necessity. Think about it. Now, somebody said, I don't like no Spam. I bet you'll eat it if you get deep enough in a crisis. I always tell my congregation, you better have some Beanie Weenies. Now some of them believe it. It's amazing what you'll eat when you that's all you got on the shelf. It's important for you to lead in this crisis because we are about to see some changes take place. I heard the president today say that many of the things that we have sent overseas for manufacturing to China and other locations has made us vulnerable in the United States. He said, that's coming back here. That's what you need to take. Look at this leading in a crisis right here. It demands creative thinking. Look at people. I've got churches that are calling saying, Pastor, we don't know how to get online, but we want to get online. It'll be the first time we've done that. Creative thinking. It's changing things at their church. Listen, you will change when you're in a crisis. And there will be things that you will do that you wouldn't normally do. So the eagle flies. That mother eagle gets up 7-foot wingspan. And all those little eaglets that she's been getting nurtured and ready to go. And the day comes when she loads them up on her wings and takes off and flies up high. And they're all saying, "Woo, this is a great time right here. We're flying high. We're comfortable with Mama." And then Mama collapses her wings and those eaglets start falling to the ground. Now you got one of two things that can happen. Either you fly or you die. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for all of you out there to start flapping your wings, because God made you an eagle as a child of God, and it's time for you to get up and soar. And this crisis, when the wings have collapsed, don't think it's over. Mama's still there. Don't you worry about it. God is still there, and he wants you to fly. Don't die. Fly. Somebody ought to throw your hands up and say, I'm going to fly, not die.
I'm thankful that you've joined us for Revive today, and I pray that the word of the Lord has been strength to you. If you'd like more information about today's message, log on to paceassembly.org. Or you can email us right there, revive@paceassembly.org. And I want to encourage you to be right back here with us once again. Till then, remember, Jesus Christ is coming soon.